Hey guys, welcome to episode 311. 311. Everybody in the 311. Welcome to episode 311 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most support, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah. And also, if you guys could do me a favor, help grow the show. Please follow the channel, follow whatever audio platform, subscribe to the YouTube. My goal is the road to 100 subscribers. That is the goal. So yeah, please help the boy out because there was not a lot of helping the boy out today. Recording this on December 19th at 8:31 p.m. Eastern. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, let's get to it. Walmart. Walmart is a staple, you know, really in America, but really the South region, which, by the way, the Broncos do play tonight, and since they are in charge of Walmart, maybe, Bo Nix could at least help me make back my sanity today, you know, throw a couple picks, you know, for the boy. It's only $50, but hey, my peace of mind is gone. Yeah, Walmart has become just a place where I don't think you could really have a positive experience at a Walmart. You know, when you go to the checkout and they ask, how was your experience today? I think even they know if anyone puts a 5-star, it's a lie. Now, that's a lie. Numbers never lie. And the number of headaches I got in there says, agree. Yeah, you know, Walmart, there's just something about the insanity. It just feels like a energy draining place. It is a place where there's no structure of how people operate. There's no, you know, sometimes you just go into some places and just like everything that could go wrong, right? I don't want to say it's just the people, like the customers. Like the employees were actually very nice, you know, not really interacted with them or anything, but you know, they typically people have issues about Walmart employees. To me, the Walmart employees are just fine, you know. They're doing what they can do. But the people that shop at Walmart, I got a bone to pick with you. There's just no, like, the second you walk in, people just, like, there's just no awareness of people, you know. When you walk down, when you're going down aisles, you're going down, you know, the main big aisles that are in between aisles, the aisles in between aisles to get to the aisle. And next thing you know, you're like, what aisle am I at? I went to go get some notebook paper, and somehow I'm looking at a toolkit, you know? Like, man. You know, you try to find garbage bags, and next thing you know, you're in the seafood aisle. Like, what the fuck just happened? Yeah, no, but it is just like, everywhere you turn, someone's in the way. Someone's cart is halfway. Someone's, like, being rude. Someone's loud on the phone. Someone is just walking slow as fuck for no reason in the middle. You know, there's no sense of like, hey, the right's for this, the left's for that. Like, fine, I've been able to work around that. But when it's just like, bro, like every turn you do, bro, like you just start going down aisles to just like calm yourself down. Like, I literally was just in a, which, you know, honestly could use one, you know, a trash dispenser. And I was looking at them, and I literally just went down this aisle because there was just so much hecticness, if that's even a word, hecticness. You know, you ever just been so stressed for no reason, just trying to go somewhere, and you're just like, I need to just go somewhere where I know no one is, where I'm not going to be interrupted, I'm not going to have an asshole trying to sell me stuff. There's nothing worse than third-party companies within a building that are trying to sell you shit. Now, you guys got me with the phone thing at Best Buy. You know what? And hey, that was actually a good situation. But when I am just trying to get some notebook pads. When I'm just trying to get a notebook and pens and paper. And I see you at a table with nothing really on it. But you look professional. I can tell this guy doesn't work at Walmart. But he's going to stop me and try to sell me some shit. And what do you know? This man's like, hey, you can never have too much security. And I'm like, yes, I guess so. You can't have too much security. this man comes up to me. He's like, he tries to sell me basically some knockoff security camera for in the house. And I'm like, nah, I already got one. And he's like, but you could always use a second. I'm like, my place isn't big enough to warrant a second. And you haven't done enough to warrant a second of my time. But you know what? I get it. You're doing a job. Your job is to sell. I get it. You're just doing your job, so I try to be nice. I'm like, hey, you know what? I appreciate it, but I'm good today. Then he starts kind of getting a little antsy with me. You know, he starts being like, you know, trying to spice it up. And said, well, I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to you. I'm like, I'm sorry. Are you trying to say if I don't, you know, include on your offer today, you're going to make something bad happen to me? Like, that's what I'm thinking in my head. Like, hey, I wouldn't want anything bad. I'm like, sorry, but your random security camera in a corner next to some flowers that my girlfriend's growing is not going to be the difference whether someone's going to, you know, snatch my equipment. They're not going to be a difference between whether I get my ass beat or not. Your security camera is not going to fucking save anything. It doesn't even have a medical or a 911 attachment to it, like, you know, like a real security. It's just fucking like, if I'm in my bedroom sleeping, I hear something in the living room. I'm like, let me look at my phone. And I see, oh, someone's in my house. Hey, guess what? What is your security camera going to do at that point? Absolutely fucking nothing. All right. But these people try to sell you things, like, understand what you're doing. And then, like, it was just so, like, everywhere you turn, like, oh, this old grandma with, you know, a kid she don't want to take care of. It, you know, it's a lot of people that seem like they have foster kids or they just have kids that they fucking hate. Like, there is never a healthy, beautiful mom, daughter, mom, son, father, son. Father and daughters, you typically get a pretty good public relationship with. But, like, moms and sons is so divisive, like, these days. I don't know what it is, but especially in a Walmart, there's never been a happy mom and son interaction. There's never been like, oh, son, I love you so much. Nope, it's always, God damn, I told you wait till we get home. God, you know? It's like the kid just asked if he could get some baked beans, you know? But nah, you know, it's a struggle out here. It just, certain part, you know, there is energy draining parts of days, you know? In the middle of the day where there's traffic, there's people, and it doesn't have to be a high amount of people, but it is just like, you start getting annoyed, like, every little thing. Then, another true story, I have my spot. I don't want to give away my spot. I like to go work at some stuff. You know, as an unemployed boy around here, I have a lot more free time, and I've been making time to work on things, you know, some things that I enjoy, just things that, you know, really make me more of a complete person. And let's just say I completely shit on these employees' days. Yeah, so I went to a local spot. I get my situation settled up. I get my laptop out. You know, I find a little corner spot. Not the most ideal, but hey, you know what? It works. It would have worked. There's kind of a hint. I didn't last long. That's what she said. I go into the bathroom, right? Not going to get too much TMI. But you know what? Took care of business. Fortunately, I've been eating pretty well, pretty healthy. So it's been nothing egregious. You know, you go to public restrooms these days. You know, someone walks out a minute or two before you walk in, you're either getting a wave of just like Chernobyl radiation gas, or, you know, it's pretty whatever. You know, it's pretty high and low these days. Most people, I don't know what the fuck they be eating in a day, you know, but it's like, oh my God. I didn't have one of those. You know, I'm pretty, you know, I have pretty good shit. I have my shit together. You know? So I took a pretty normal shit. I get up, wipe my ass, blah, blah, blah. I go to flush the toilet. Not flushing. Now, I'm a pretty good expert at dealing with toilets that don't flush. I've been clogging up shit my whole life. And so I have a good idea of how to, you know, open the top to the toilet, you know, mess around with the chains, the plastic, you know, all that good stuff, the sucker pump, whatever you want to call it. I know how to work this shit, no pun intended. And I'm doing it, you know, I'm doing the shit. I'm moving shit around. I'm basically doing free labor, you know, on their own fucking toilet. This newly renovated place, and it's not flushing. Like, it's not like there's nothing wrong with it. It's just like, So I have two choices. I'm pretty sure we've all been there when you've done some questionable shit in the bathroom and you're like, should I notify an employee? Because I am admitting to being a piece of shit. I am admitting to doing a, I am admitting that, yep, I did this shit. And now, more than anything, you know, yes, you're bringing awareness to an issue like, hey, your toilet's not working. But you're also bringing a lot of judgment to your shit. And that's the thing, because people can make a lot of fair assessments on someone's shit. You know, you could make assessments on their diet, their livelihood, you know, how well they take care of themselves. You know, do they use too much toilet paper? You know, what do they eat? Do I see little corn and chili pieces? You know, the huge. You know, you can make a lot of assessments. And it's like, you're having someone whose job is not to do this. You know, they may clean the bathrooms, but their job is primarily to be doing task of what they're doing in the restaurant or wherever they're at. And, you know, they clean, they may sweep a mop, wipe the toilet down, but they're not plumbers. That's not their job, you know. And now you're like, hey, I know your pay doesn't warrant what you're about to be doing, but I'm going to need you to come in here and figure this shit out. No pun intended. So I had two choices, which is either make them aware or turn the light off, walk out of there, grab all the shit I set up like I was about to be in a workshop for 3 hours, politely dip out, shit and dip. And since I'm passive and I don't want to deal with any uncomfortable situations, I turned the light off, grabbed my shit, and dipped. Yep. And part of me is like, man, that's a pretty shitty thing to do. And the other part of me is like, you know, you did the right thing. but the stress of that 2 hours of a stressful Walmart to get the simplest shit, and you're dealing with just people. You know, I'm not anti-social, believe it or not. But just when, like, every, like, 30 seconds, it's like, you're adjusting to someone else being inconsiderate, people standing around, people on the phone, people, like, just kind of lounging around, hogging most of the aisles, so you gotta fit your big-ass fucking buggy in between everyone. You know, you're like backing up doing this. You don't want to go down the aisle. You want to see the whole aisle, but there's two people looking at shit, and you're like, I don't feel like dealing with these people. I guess I'm not going to look at the candles today. You turn around, go all the way around. You avoid people trying to sell shit, so you take all the way the long way around. Like, you do all the shit to make your day longer because you don't want to be interrupted by people. Like, what happened to the days where it's just like you go to places and you're just not interrupted? Even when I was sitting, even when I arrived to the second place I went to where I had the toilet incident, the second I sat down, there was some guy outside. This is going to sound like a shitty thing, but it's just like, you got to have context of all day. You know, this is where like shit builds up. You know, you're at one place, you're dealing with this, you're dealing with that, you know, this interruption, that. I know it's just, you know, white boy inconvenience, whatever. And there's a person outside, and they're like, hey, you think you got some loose change? And you're like, bro, I don't carry fucking cash. There's a fucking ATM right there, you know? But it's like, you know, you got to, and I kind of felt like a dick, because I kind of dick responsive, like, nah, man, not today. Like, I could, but I just don't feel like it. But really, it's just like, I'm unemployed just like you, my man. I may look good, but I ain't doing good out here, you know? I'm not exactly a cash cow. But that's the crazy part. It's amazing what looks and perception can do, you know? Like, I've been told, like, on my next job interview I go to or whatever, they said just because of, like, your look, your haircut, how professional, your stature, if you went in there and just, like, took over the room and shook everyone's hand, they would give you, like, they may offer you, like, some a higher-ass position, regardless of experience. And I'm like, I think you're being a little optimistic, but I think you might be on to something. This white boy privilege is coming in handy. Oh, and today's drink. Jolly Rancher, C4, new flavors. I haven't had C4 in a while. It does absolutely nothing in terms of stimulation. Like, any gym bro, any dude that, like, worked out, the first pre-workout you ever took was C4. I do not give a fuck what you say. C4 is, like, the gateway, you know? C4 pre-workout, now I think about it, is really, like, daily sports fantasy for people that are going to eventually have a gambling issue. It's your introduction to overconsumption of caffeine. Man, this doesn't even taste like. You know, it really is like. I have a three-way comparison. It's not gay if it's in a three-way. Apparently, Lonely Island is back. I didn't know that. But you have, like, these coffee shops. There's a lot of people, me included, that enjoy coffee from Starbucks, Dunkin', and some other places when it's filled with a bunch of additives where, yeah, there's coffee in it, but you're not really tasting coffee. It's more like a dessert drink when you break down the sugar contents. It's kind of scary. Like, I'm very fortunate to not die yet, you know. If I didn't drink this shit, I would probably be shredded, like 5% body fat. It's probably the only thing that's keeping me, holding me back. And Shawn Mendes, he's kind of a weird guy now. But pre-workouts like the C4s are like the Dunkin' to Starbucks coffee. And it's like the Prize Picks, the DraftKings. It's a gateway to get you into the addiction. Like, you know what? They're not going to make the profit based off today. They're going to make the profit when you become attached to that shit. And they're making hundreds of thousands, they're making hundreds of dollars a month off hundreds of thousands of individuals a month. It is consistent income because the stimulation you need is more and more, so you need to buy more. You need to spend more to get a high. You need to drink more caffeine to get a high. You know, I know this is crazy, but it's really not. But, like, the C4 is like the 12-year-old's pre-workout, and then you start getting some crazy shit. And then typically what happens is when you start finding, you know, your real pre-workouts you like. I know this is such nerdy gym bro talk. It's typically somewhere like you like a pretty high stimulant, but you don't really like that crazy, crazy shit that crashes you out. You like pretty smooth. So, yeah. I would love... You know, I was listening to something, right? It's kind of wrong because I've actually been using LinkedIn recently. So I've been listening to Reid Hoffman. He's like the owner of LinkedIn. Apparently he sold that shit to Google or Microsoft for like $26 million. So he's living good, you know? And that, you know... And they were talking about something about, like, entrepreneurship, right? I've never had this obsession with owning a business or being, quote-unquote, an entrepreneur in the generic sense. You know, you want to do something you enjoy, makes money, where you kind of have a freedom, where you're not tied down to doing specific things. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to continuously work to reach that satisfaction or income or whatever. And he talked about, like, you know, should everyone want to be an entrepreneur? He said simply, no. Not everyone has the skill set, and that's a good thing, you know? Because if everyone, like, this wasn't his words, but my translation was like, if everyone wanted to be an entrepreneur, there would be no one to actually get the work done. Because, you know, entrepreneurs, they, like, set the job. They have the idea. They follow through with execution, the business aspect. And they get everything from a startup or just, like, the small intricacies of starting a business. But you got to have people that actually do the work, you know. And I think it brought me a little bit more comfort. I think this is a weird thing when someone says, I don't want to be an entrepreneur. That doesn't mean you don't want money. And realistically, a lot of entrepreneurs end up being more broke than people with regular jobs because you're taking an exorbitant amount of money. And if you have one thing that hits, you know, everything will be all right. But chances are you're going to have a lot of things that don't hit, and you got to find a way to maintain funds, keep money coming in, borrowing money to start your next thing. If you're not making consistent income doing X, Y, and Z, sooner or later, you know, you got to get the money from somewhere. I guess that's where business, networking, all that good stuff matters. But yeah, I guess the point of all that was, like, don't be one of these people that think, like, the whole goal of life is just to be a business owner. Like, it's cool for those that do. But if you really aren't passionate about the business you're owning or what you're doing, you're only going to get so far, you know? And if you're just doing something to make a profit and turn it over in 8 to 10 years and you could go through that, nothing wrong with that either, you know? But typically what you notice is people that, like, have, like, to make it to that crazy, like, exorbitant business level, like the LinkedIns or the Amazons and Google and all that stuff, the Facebooks, is they all end up selling the business, the Twitters, the X's, what. They all end up selling the business, but the passion they had to have, the love to really do it for that extended period of time to start it, like, yeah, you start it with the intention of making money eventually, being, but the exorbitant amounts, like, you can never imagine that some business you make about networking of jobs is going, someone's going to buy it for $26 billion, and that's 7 times over what the stock price is. Like, you can never imagine that, you know? That's where it's almost like you can't even believe it, you know? So, yeah. I think, like, the whole entrepreneurship or just, like, wanting to do something to make a profit, like, if you just look at it from a sole lens of just the money, dollar input, dollar output, it's going to be a miserable experience for you. Because the whole point of it is the process, you know? The beauty of everything is really the process, and because if you don't enjoy the process or really embrace the process, then the result is kind of, it's really just a means to an end. So, yeah. I just found that interesting. I'm not sure what point I really made with that. God damn, my nose is still stuffy. Yeah. Actually, you know, I think as of today, I think it's officially like 2 weeks. Maybe 3 weeks. Holy shit. 3 weeks of being a bum bum out here. yeah, people, you know, people really get, you know, I get the whole manifesting thing, you know. I don't really get that. I don't really, like, think, like, even joking around saying I'm a bum bum. I know I'm not a bum. I'm pretty hard worker. Like, I've done my time for X, Y, and Z. You know, I'm not a bum. I joke about it. But I could joke about it because I have a track record in my personal life that says I'm not, you know. So when I hear it, if someone were to call me a bum, it would not resonate with me because you just know, all right, like, I can't even take you serious. But if someone were to call you something and it makes you feel something, it's like, yeah, you know, you have that fine line of needing to defend yourself of your character. But when it's from someone where it's not really going to affect your reputation, is it really worthwhile to do all that? Like, social media is not this real thing. It's real, but it's not real. You know what I mean? It's real people, but people dictate their actions different based off the comfort of being behind a screen or just kind of feeling this comfort of what is allowed in a setting. So that's why, like, when you cultivate an audience, you know, people act different in different chat rooms or different comment sections under videos. It's based off the aura, the acceptance of what that creator, what that person has attracted to, or what that they want. I will say this, I do not believe in restricting comments. Not that anyone comments under my videos anyways, but it is this weird thing where, like, people feel a need to filter and restrict comments. on a public forum, it's like you want to put, you can't like put a message out there, right? You can't have opinions or thoughts about things and then go into your settings and filter out words or sentences or phrases that someone may put in a comment section and try to have those filter out and delete where the public doesn't see it because it may not align with your views or, you know, you're worried about, you know, the age of your audience type of thing. It's like, you know, I just think a lot of that shit's corny. And I think it's, to me, it's weird when people are obsessed with maintaining an image more than maintaining the consistent message that they actually want to give. And perception is reality to an extent. You know, like I've said recently, like perception of how people look at you, view you, it matters. But at the end of the day, no one can really make you feel something that you don't feel about yourself already. Like if someone says, hey, you know, Clint, you're looking a little fat. The only way that would actually make me feel something is if like I've already self-consciously felt like I'm getting fatter or I feel sluggish. I don't feel that good because I know I haven't been taking care of my... Like, if someone, like, 2 months ago when I was at, like, my malnutrition peaked, were like, hey, Clint, you know, you're looking a little thick there. And I would be like, really? Are they as thick as your swollen eyes from getting high every day before work? I don't know. Maybe. it is, you know, I'm not going to, damn, I got to be careful here. I'm not going to blow a gasket here. What I will say is, it is crazy how, like, in the most high stressful moments, people expose what they're really going through. Like, there's an incident, there's been some incidents recently like that, not with me included, but just people close to me where they've had incidents at their capacity that they make an income where them and others, it's like a high, it's very highly stressful certain parts of year. And you get really into it. You know, you yell, you get mad, angry, shit is said in the high heat of the moments when you're tired, exhausted, the stress and all that stuff. The real what, even if it's not the real versions of you or the best parts of you, the part that you really feel it comes out. You know, you're calling each other asswipes, piece of shit, wife fuckers, you know, all that good stuff. And it's weird how like when after, typically in my experience, after the crazy blowouts, you know, after the crazy like holy shit, we just made this may not be reversible. When you have those arguments or those disputes where it's like, I don't think I could be in the same room as this person anymore. You typically end up coming closer to that person because you both don't feel great about what happened more times than not. Like, you know, like we both went over the line, and typically the next time you see him, you're almost like, you almost feel closer to them because it's like, hey, that was a real honest moment. I don't mean everything I said, but I was fucking pissed. And you just like, what's up? Hey, maybe you're not best friends after that, but sometimes it kind of creates a closer, a bondness, an understanding. And just a, it's kind of like a bridge to connect because you both hit that level and then boom. So sometimes you got to say, sometimes something bad's got to happen for shit to change. And it's this massive self-destruction. Yeah. So I don't know, you know, I'm a self-destructive guy, you know. Oh my God, I'm so sorry for my voice, the nasaliness. No matter what I fucking do, I just can't get it out. But yeah, you know, I don't know how to feel about, you know, I'm looking pretty dapper, I gotta say. But, I will say this, you know, the whole, like, you know, there's a greater life out here. You know, you got to be careful about it. To be very honest, sometimes when you give yourself too much free time, you really take for granted of time, you know, And maybe I think what it does is we're conditioned to just work and be attached to these different things, and we're so worried about doing the most in the little amount of time that we almost function better when given closed deadlines than if we were given open. It kind of reminds me when I was younger and in school. You notice how, like, when your teacher would give you those projects where you have, like, 3 months to complete it. And there were things you really could have completed in, like, a week and a half if you just worked on it a little bit every day. But, of course, like most people, you wait until the 3 or 4 days before to put some shit together, forcing your mom to take you to Staples to get some posters and all that good shit. You're doing some research late at night, and then you don't even fucking... You missed part of the syllabus where it said, hey, you're supposed to give history on each individual, not just the whole situation. And you're like, yeah. Whose house runs house? And that's how you open your introduction. Yes, I did do a presentation on Run DMC because I think we did it on 4th and 5th grade. I'm not even kidding. I think the whole project, like, subject was called culture. but it wasn't even really, it's literally about cultural significant events that turned, you know, pop culture, historic events. And, you know, the list was kind of like, this seems pretty all veered towards one direction, but whatever. But yeah, you know, all these things kind of hit you. It's like, we are conditioned to where the more time you give us to get shit done, the less we will get done, and we will end up cramming it all. And there's no significance, there's no pressure. And that's why high-pressured environments, you know, people like, say, working for Elon, it's very high pressure. Like, you either produce or they're going to get you out of there. He'll fire you in the middle of a meeting if you like your monthly sales or your monthly output has not been meeting up the progress they're trying to make in something. Where you know, a lot of places are very like, hey, you know, they show up on time, you know, that's all we can ask for. And, you know, you kind of get used to just doing the bare minimum. You get used to just, hey, you know, we'll be all right. There's no pressure to get things done, which kind of creates, it affects everything else. You know, not that stress is great, but if you use stress in the right way, you can accomplish so much, you know. It makes you actually appreciate and prioritize your time more. But sometimes you have too much time, you give yourself too much freedom without earning that freedom from a financially free point where you can just go out and do whatever the fuck you want, experiment more, learn more, spend more on experiences or whatever. You kind of set yourself up to realize, man, I'm not as disciplined as I think I am. I'm not as structured. I'm not as on top of my shit as I need to be. And it kind of is a wake-up call because you try finding things to fill the day. You know, you try rationalizing that you need a break, you need this, and you start kind of going down a hamster wheel of just waking up later, next thing you know, it's already late in the day, you've barely done anything, you've eaten, you just try to occupy your time with doing things that are healthy, you know, you exercise, you try to read a little, you listen to something that seems introspective, that may change your life, or may change your point of view, because you listen to some CEO of a website they sold 8 years ago, you know, and you're like, yeah, inspiration. And we fall into this inspiration pool that we don't incorporate. And one thing I picked up from listening to all, like, you can't take everything you listen or read or even the most motivational, the greatest things. And it doesn't just translate. It may translate. You may have a great day that day because you just feel like that's what I needed. But all the ideas you have, all the great things you want to think about, doesn't really matter until you create action. And that's you know, the action part is still what's most important. You know, that's why I doing this show. You know, it could be, you know, the progress. It's been more the past you know, a couple months, made some progress in terms of just consistency, trying to get back consistent uploading schedule, making the show, molding the show. It changes as it goes because I am the responsible factor. I am the one constant factor. As I change, the show changes, the stuff I talk about, how I talk about, X, Y, and Z, whatever. The main thing is just the continuously being actionable regardless if it's success or failure. But just having a day-to-day plan, controlling what you can control, put in the effort necessary. That's all you can do. And that's the part where it's like you realize when you do things that you put your mind, that you visualize, it like you just infinitely like are 50% better. Just because you visualize something and then now you're doing it. It's crazy, you know? Even someone's like, I don't know, like doing the dishes, you know? It's not like, you know, I'll do the dishes later tonight. And then you don't do it, that feeling it gives you, you feel like shit. But then, like, the second you do it the next morning, you're like, you just feel relieved. Anytime you put stuff on your shoulders and you don't, you know, do full range of motion and get the shit done and get proper muscle atrophy, you know, hypertrophy, you know, that's where that shit comes into play. But you know what? Yeah. Where we at? You know, I'll just end today's episode with a message, you know. You gotta be, you know, you just gotta love life. Life is amazing, you know. I will say, this is kind of random. Anyone that follows football, Xavier Leggett, his fake southern accent thing he's doing, like, it's like the thing is, like, everyone knows it's fake, but we're just, like, cool with it. Like, he obviously, like, there's clips of him where he doesn't talk like that. He's obviously playing up to a character. And it's just kind of like, I get the whole PR. You know, people are shitting on Will Levis. Sorry, this has become Sports Court. Now people are shitting on Will Levis because he did commercials during last year of the offseason without really, you know, creating a name or building a foundation to stature, proving enough on the field to start doing off the field stuff. It's kind of weird, you know, because there's plenty of players that did that when they came out. Odell, Saquon, quarterbacks, not much in recent memory. I'm trying to think, you know, but I know it's happened. There's been quarterback like out of the draft. They're starting to do commercials and shit. And there's nothing wrong with that at this point, you know. I don't think, like, I think it's stupid for the outside media as I criticize Xavier. I'm not really criticizing Xavier, but I don't know. It's kind of weird. Like, you're doing a whole podcast episode where you're playing up an accent because of future deals or you get talked about more. I don't know. It doesn't really seem like the bang is worth its buck. You know, pretending a voice or an accent for some public media points, maybe. Like, it's kind of like, especially when everyone knows it's fake. Yeah, I don't know. But I always found it weird when sports media and stuff, they criticize athletes when they haven't proven enough to do commercials. It's, you know, commercials aren't about who's the best. That's not really what it's about. It's very niche. It could be they fit a branding. They fit this, you know. It's just that company pays that, you know. Like radio hosts, if you haven't accomplished enough, should you just turn down endorsements and sponsorships that you have a choice to participate? Like, you don't have to accept the sponsorship, but no one's going to shit on you for accepting a sponsorship except if it completely just doesn't align with some you have talked about or belief. Like, if you are a, you know, if you are a pro, I don't even know, like, let's say you have, you know, shitted on supplements, like, oh, there they are drinking their stupid little green shakes thinking that that's what's going to make you healthy, and they don't focus on their diet, but then you, you know, endorse, you know, magicspoon.com or some shit, or you endorse some bullshit, you know, food company that's like meal prep, you know, even though it has a shitload of sodium, but you're all about health, or you're endorsing McDonald's and you're all talking about how we have an obesity issue and how much it bothers you, but then you do a sponsorship for McDonald's, like that would be more problematic. But someone doing a harmless State Farm commercial on Will Levis's case, mayo. Now, I think the issue is, like, he didn't really put mayo in his coffee. But that is egregious. I like mayo. But in coffee, that's insane. I don't care what type of super boosting. Just take some fucking vitamin B12. Alright, man? Or whatever the fuck. But yeah. That's all I gotta say. But, you know, they wait until, like, no one says too much about it. Like, I don't know. And then the second you start sucking, getting benched, or things are starting to not work out for you, like, see, if he didn't spend that, you know, 8 hours that one day doing this Kraft mayo commercial, maybe he would have been in a playbook and learned how to do a spy pattern and not throwing that pick. Like, nah, you know, tip passes were still gonna happen, you know, in week 15. You know, it is what it is. But yeah, it's just stupid how the stuff that we kind of use, like, it's like when a girl holds on to shit, you know? That's what sports media, like, sports media is like when your wife holds on to shit that, you know, you did 6 years ago. And, you know, like, that one time you took her car out and, you know, you took her car to work because your car was in the shop, and then some person fender bendered you, and it's like, and they, you know, they're like, oh, I'm just glad you're okay. You know, we'll be fine. You know, I'm just happy you're good. 6 years later, you're like, hey, you know, my car's in the shop. You know, I'm in the process. Can I just borrow your car to take to work? It's like, oh, you know, I would. But, you know, I wouldn't want someone to, you know, hit you from behind, you know, like last time. I just don't know if I trust you. It's like, oh, okay. I thought we explained that that was an accident. Not sure how that relates 6 years later. Okay. Well, fuck me. So yeah, I think I'll end it there. That was episode 311 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeet. All right. Have a great day, morning, night, evening. Love y'all.